I like where it says we'll take our place in history. You know, God has a design for every one of us. And it's something that is so special and so unique that, you know, the Lord needs us to fulfill what he's given us to do. And I think it's important that we stand up and we say, God, I accept my mission. I accept what it is that you have for me, and I'm going to take my place in history. I'm going to shout the love of Jesus Christ as far and as wide as I can. Amen. Are you glad to be in God's house this morning? I really want us to move deeper in our worship. Each week, I feel like God just is really doing a lot of great and mighty things in this church. But my prayer is that as a church, we move deeper in our worship and that we begin to see God doing miracles even as we sing. Not just while the preaching is happening, not just in the altar services, but when we sing to God and when we worship him, that his spirit falls down in this place and we see him do awesome things. Would you like that? Would you go with me? Amen. Father, we just thank you. We invite your presence here today. Lord, your Holy Spirit is welcome in this service. And we ask, Lord, that as we sing to you, that you would just reach down and touch the hearts of your people here today. God, that you would be blessed by our praises and that you would come and that you would inhabit this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Change me broken.
Jamming so hard my headphone fell out. You guys sound good. I can really hear you singing this morning. I think you came into this house ready to worship the Lord.
Cry. Oh, you are. lift up your hands. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now listen, I don't know if you've been pressing through something this week or you've been challenged by the enemy. I want you just to get in the devil's face a little bit, and we're going to lift up a shout. We're going to lift up a shout in this place. I want you to let him know who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords and ruling over your life this morning. Let's begin to lift it up to the Lord. God, we praise you in this place. Lord, we lift up our voice to you. You are worthy today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen, we're about to pray right now about needs that are in people's lives. And we're going to believe God, and we're not going to pray quietly, but we're going to let it be known in heaven what we need right now. I want to tell you, one of our dear brothers in the Lord in our church, Brother Ken Taylor, this week's going to have a lot of serious tests done. And he needs God to heal him. His kidneys need healing. And his body needs to be made new. We don't want to see transplants, and we don't want to see all this dialysis stuff. We want to see the mighty power of God break out on them. Now, they're out, Peggy's out in Texas ministering, and they're not here right now. But listen, we want to believe God to touch him and lift him up and pray over that, all right? Give you a praise report. Joe and Scarlett Vault had a healthy baby boy, Asher, and he's well, and mom's well, and everybody's doing good. And if I weren't a man, I could tell you what he weighed and how long he was. But I got the sex and the name right, so give me that, all right? So that's pretty good. Most men go, they had a baby, I don't know. We're going to believe God. It's just the way it is. You got a need too, maybe today. I want you just to say, Lord, here it is. Lift it up to the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God's collecting needs all over this place today. And we're taking them up to heaven. So let's just begin to call on the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are so thankful that you hear us when we pray to you. That, God, we get the opportunity to come right to your very throne because of the blood of Jesus. Your word even says that we don't have to have an anxiety or a care about coming before your throne. That we can come as your children approaching their Father who reaches out in love. And, God, you know the needs that are in this place today. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to begin to move on behalf of your people in Jesus' name. God, I'm praying for doors to open, for jobs to come, for people who are looking in that area, and you're going to open the door in the name of Jesus. I'm praying, God, that you're going to restore bodies to health in the name of Jesus. And we lift up right now Brother Ken Taylor for a work in his body. I pray renew his body in the name of Jesus. Let those kidneys be well in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch him even now, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God come on him in a mighty work of healing in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every attack of the enemy against your child, your minister, your gospel preacher. God, lift him up in the name of Jesus to be recovered and whole in the name of the Lord. Let it bring forth a new day of ministry even in his life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. God, we just push back the darkness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Lord, I pray over families today that need healing in their families, Lord. Just, God, in relationships, we pray, God, a mighty work of your healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, everything that's been lifted up to you, we just ask for your help. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name, for your glory and honor, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. Glory to his name, glory to his name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Go ahead and be seated this morning. And I do appreciate our worship team worshiping God. And I like the opportunity to worship with them. You know, there's a big difference. They could just play music, but they don't just play music. They worship Jesus. And then we all join in, and we get everybody worshiping the Lord in one mind, one accord. It's great. It's a great day. Look forward to every Sunday to come and see you. So I'm glad you came to be a part of this service today. If you're a guest with us today, just know you're welcome. And I hope you'll enjoy the service and let God minister to you in the service today. And anytime you want to come back, you're welcome to be back with us any Sunday. We have worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. And we have Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7. And there's things for youth and children at all these, at both these things. So it's a good thing that's are going on. I want to ask if the ushers will go ahead and get the lights back up. We'll pull that up. Pastor John's going to come and let us know about all the announcements. Not all the announcements, but some of them. No, anyway. You know, read your bulletin each week, and that'll help too. And then we have our website, believersconyers.com. Believersconyers.com, and we put our news events on there. Here you go.
Couple things coming up. Today at 4, we have our membership class with Pastor. If you are interested in finding out the vision of the church or what we believe and what we stand for, please be here at 4. That'll be a short meeting from 4 to 6. If you didn't get a chance to sign up for that, you are still more than welcome to come. We'd love to have you. That's at 4 o'clock today, this afternoon. And also, this coming Saturday at 11 a.m., there's going to be a recipe swap. All of our ladies are invited to come and meet with our WMs and swap recipes and talk about that kind of stuff. And they're also going to talk about everything that's coming up with the women's ministries for this year. And finally, if you want to volunteer in the nursery, we could definitely use your help. If you could just call the church office, let Miss Carol know, and we'd love to have you. Thank you.
Yeah, we would appreciate your help in that. I think, I got Corey's. Give me that handheld. Oh, switch mic. Corey's doing double duty. Man, Corey, how can you do everything that you do? I want to tell you what, he is one of the hardest workers in this church, and we've been working some this week, and he does a lot of good things. Praise the Lord. Might as well just give me that. I don't know what to say. There it is. Hey, I'm going to ask you today to get ready to give to the Lord and to honor the Lord in our tithes and offerings. God is blessing and meeting the needs of our church through your faithfulness. We took up an offering last week
And we're going to do this the first Sunday of each month till we get to May, when we have Missions Month. We're going to have Missions Month in May. Got some people coming in, but we took up an offering, and we had $500 come in that. We're going to split it up among four missionaries, and you're one of them. So we got Tim and Barbara Newbon with Teen Challenge in Atlanta are here. And so I was just stirred up by the Lord. We got to get back to supporting everybody on a monthly basis. And so now they didn't come because of that. Probably didn't even know we did that. So we just, but it's kind of cool you're here, just to mention that. Thank you for your faithfulness in that. And it's pretty cool. We're getting back into supporting missions on a regular basis, and it's a good thing. So as we get to the Lord today, let's just give unto him. I want to pray and ask God will bless all of our giving today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, be honored in our giving and our tithes and offerings. Use them for your namesake, Lord. God, you are doing great things in our church. Continue to supply all that we need to do what you've called us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, what does that mean? Bet it's not. Anyway, it's on. Two, three, four, there you go. I can't go fast forward. What's that number? All right, anyway. Hey, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll get there in just a little bit. There's some things I need to talk about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we begin reading in verse 12. We've been talking about the growing church. Last week we talked about healthy growth. And this week we're going to talk about God uses people. Turn me up a little bit. How about there? There you go. I like it right there. I'll let my louds be loud and my softs be soft. Just leave the dial where it's at. You know, preachers are funny that way because we get loud on purpose. And then I don't want to get turned down when I get loud because I want to get loud to bother you. That's what I get paid to say. And this is the beautiful thing about being a pastor. You know, in retail work, the customer's always right. But when you're pastoring a church, I actually get paid to offend you every Sunday. No, anyway. It doesn't really work like that. It kind of works like that. Help us with the nursery thing. I know that was an announcement, but it's a real big need. We need, and the people, we're wearing out the work of a few. We're going to break them, all right? And so we got to help them. Now, here's what we're going to do. If you'll volunteer, you'll fill out a form. We'll run the background check on you. We won't make you go do that yourself, but we'll run, yes, we run background checks on nursery workers. Everybody got a baby in there says amen. We do that, okay? Just everybody does these days. So, why does it keep cutting in and out? Do anybody got any idea? Okay, let's just, maybe it's my hearing cutting in and out. But it's doing, is it doing all right now? Okay. All right, here we go. Let me say one more thing before I get to the word. This Tuesday, I will have been married for 25 years, and so will have my wife.
And I figured that math out too. So Lisa and I are going to celebrate our 25th, and I think they call that the silver anniversary. So I said, let's go to a place with real silverware. And not one of those plastic forks with thank you on the trash can. No, we're going out big time. All right, and so I won't be in the office Tuesday. We're going to go off. We're going to have a big day, whatever. So just wanted you to know we made it 25 years. That's the deal I'm talking about. Does any? I'm getting set free right now.
Well, you know what this means? It's going to preach like an evangelist because he's got a handheld mic. And maybe that's the way God wanted this one preached. That's all I can tell you. I really have a great sense about the word today, and I feel like the Lord's really been speaking to my heart this week about what I want to talk about. So, get ready. God uses people, what I want to talk about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, kind of where we're going to get started. We're going to go, it's really a launching point for what I want to say, but I want to establish some things right off the bat, and we're going to establish them out of what is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes this. He says, the body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word today, and just ask God that as we hear it, Lord, your Spirit would begin to speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, look, within this passage of Scripture, there's a lot of truths we could delve into. I just want to point out some real simple, right off the cuff, obvious things. And one of those things is that the body of Christ is made up of people. The church is people. All right? The church is not, and we've said this before, and so I won't dwell on a lot, but it's not buildings and furniture and these kind of things. The body of Christ comes together as God brings people together in one mind and one accord. And so, some things that are just, I always look at these big passages. Sometimes people want to delve into the minutiae of it, and there's good things in that. But don't ever overlook the big, obvious messages, all right? And this big, obvious message coming out of this passage is that every person is necessary. Every one of you are necessary. There's nobody in here that has an insignificant ministry. There's no such thing as an insignificant ministry. Every ministry that is done counts for God, all right? And we need it. There are things that go on in this church behind the scenes that you never hear about, but if they didn't happen behind the scenes, we couldn't do what we're doing right now. There are people that get out and give of their time and serve God by cleaning this place every week, okay? They do it for God, and they do it for His glory, and it's their ministry and their calling. It's not their only ministry, but they do it. They're the people who are watching our children today and ministering to our children are doing it because they have a calling of God to do it. The things that you do, when you pray for your neighbor, that ministry is irreplaceable, all right? When you talk to your children and you pray with them each and every day, that ministry that God's given you and your family can't be done by anybody else. There are no unnecessary people. Everybody is needed in the church, All right? We don't ever need to let that be forgotten. And the people that don't, you know, listen, people like me that are so visible, we don't need any credit. We don't need any recognition. That's what I'm reading out of that. We get ours every week because we get to get up here in front of you. All right? But listen, thank God for all of you. That's the truth. That's what he was saying there. The visible things, it's sometimes we need to be give a little more recognition to the people behind the scenes that never get seen. But they're doing things for God each and every week. Everybody is needed. Not only is everybody necessary, we need to understand that that reflects how we need each other. We need each other. I don't want to need anybody. Well, church is not going to work well. We all need each other, all right? We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other in the body of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. You cannot say, I don't need you. You can't just, like, I'm cutting off my toe. You know, I really, that's not my favorite analogy of the body of Christ thing, but it's been one of the more common ones that people use, and the thumb, or, you know. Because then somebody said, well, I just must be the big toe in the body of Christ. No, you're not. Maybe I have met some of those, but I'm not sure. I'm not even going to go there because I haven't prepared that thought. Let's go on. But we need each other. So in the growing church, we can't say, I don't need you, because God uses every one of us. God uses people to do what he's going to do. Now, with that understanding that God uses people, nobody's unnecessary, we all need each other, let's go on and just let's start talking about some truths here that are very, very easy to understand. And where's Jim? Help me out with this. Let's set the thermostats at about 70. I'm looking at my wife again. She isn't for you. It's 25 years. We're gonna turn it up. And listen, I was born to sweat. I love to sweat when I preach. All right. Anyway. Right there. How many women are just love me right now? Because I got it. We got the air off. All right. I get you. Men go hunting and climb up in trees and put on. We like it cold. But we'll suffer through and get going. Three traits of people God uses. I just realized all of this is recorded. Maybe we could edit that. First thing I want to say about the kind of people God uses is that he uses obedient people. Remember that incident in the life of Samuel when he came up upon Saul? And the statement, you know, Saul had not followed the instructions of God. And the classic line that came out of that was, to obey is better than sacrifice. Saul thought that he could cover all of his wrongdoing by sacrifices he was making. And Samuel, no, if you're going to serve God, serve him with obedience. God is looking for people who will do what he asked them to do. I want to read to you about a servant, kind of a behind-the-scenes guy in the book of Acts. I want to show you how powerful obedience is. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, we read about a man named Ananias. Ananias was a faithful servant of God. Paul had been blinded on the road to Damascus and was now waiting in Damascus to hear from God. He couldn't see. He had encountered Jesus, you know, and surrendered himself to the Lord. Now, keep in mind, up until this point, he was out persecuting the church and taking Christians into jail, even seeing some of them put to death. In Damascus, it says in verse 10, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done for your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, Ananias, even though in a rational thinking way, he's got no business hunting up a man named Saul of Tarsus who is persecuting the church, yet he is given clear instruction from the Spirit of God, you are to go there. And you're going to lay your hands on him, and he's going to receive his sight. Not only did he receive his sight, but the Spirit of God fell on him as well, and Paul received the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't ever hear of Ananias again in the Scripture, but you hear a lot about a man named Paul. But Paul is operating in the gifts and ministries that he does because there's a faithful servant who's willing to do what God asks him to do. And he just steps out and he obeys God. He obeys God even though he has reservations, he has legitimate fears, but he does what God asks him to do. Obedience is the highest expression of our trust in God. All right? See, we say, we trust you, God. God, we trust you. We put our lives in you. And then God says, okay, now do this. Okay, God, you knew I trust you. But really, you want me to do this? Yes, this is what I want you to do. And when you do that, and when you live out his teaching, when you live out the teaching of Jesus and the Word of God, you are expressing your faith in God. You know, the writer of James will say, hey, listen, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm not pleasing God with my works, but because I believe in God, I do what he says. Faith is expressed through obedience. Because if we truly believe he's our Lord, and that he loves us, and he wants what's best for us, then we're willing to do what he asks us to do. So faith, listen, you want to say you trust God, and you want to demonstrate that you trust God, you will demonstrate that trust by walking in obedience to what he's made known to you to do. All right? Listen, so obedience is not complicated. When we have clear instruction from God, then we do it. Now, the Bible gives us the greatest amount of that instruction, but also God will speak to us on occasions for specific things that he wants us to do. Step out and let this happen, all right? Now, we understand that when we do this, it's our expression of trust in God, and for us, it gives us a way to please the Lord. But there's another benefit that comes to us as well when we obey God. When we obey God, the walk of obedience will enable for you what is referred to in Ephesians 6 as the shield of faith. You know when it says to put on the armor of God? How do you put on? Well, when it comes to the shield of faith, the way I take up the shield of faith is that I walk in obedience to God. And when I walk in obedience to him, there comes within me a shield of faith to defend myself against what is referred to in the NIV as the flaming arrows, or if you like some King James language, the fiery darts. I do like that a little better because I've had a few hurled at me, and they just seem to be a little more like fiery darts than flaming arrows. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. His specialty is hurling threats and insults. In other words, Pastor, what are fiery darts? What are these flaming arrows? They come from the accuser of the brethren, and they are thrown at you in the form of threats, accusations, insults. He tries to bring you down through what's coming at you. But when you walk in obedience, hey, when I'm walking in the plan of God for my life, all right? When he tries to tell me you're going to fail, you're miserable, you will never make it. You have let God down. All these lies begin to come at me. Things that, but when I'm walking in obedience, there's a shield of faith up against every one of them, and they're brought to nothing. Now, when I walk in my own will, in my own way, and the shield of faith is down, I don't know if you've ever been hit by a fiery dart or taken one. They're not necessarily fatal, but they really hurt. I don't mean that just to be funny either. I've taken some. I've gotten out. I've gotten my eyes off of Jesus and on another plan and gotten myself out in a position where I thought I knew how everything was going to work out. I knew how God was going to provide. I hadn't checked with God in a while, but I was just sure this is what he was going to do, how he was going to take care of it. It makes so much sense to my logical mind. It's all coming together just to have a rug pulled out from under me and get busted with, you're a failure, you're miserable, you'll never make it, you're going under, you're not going to have what you need, you can't even take care of your family. What is wrong with you? Now, I don't fear those things when I'm walking in the plan of God and I'm walking in obedience. I'm like, devil, you're a liar. Hey, how about I pull out my sword of the Spirit and just give you a little bit? Greater is he that's within me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I'll give you the sword of the Spirit and put you on the run here. And I'll take my shield of faith. But I want to tell you something. When you start walking in your own way and you start walking, that shield of faith comes down. And you become a subject to the fiery darts of the enemy. But when you walk in obedience, you don't have to fear the enemy. Finally, I want you to know about obedience is that the walk of obedience expresses our love to God. 2 John verse 6, this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. How can I express my love to God? What is a tangible way I can show God that I love him? I can show him that I love him, according to John, by walking in his commands. Walking in obedience to the commands of God is an expression of my love to the Lord. All right? And so when I do what he asked me to do, I demonstrate to him that I love him. Jesus taught this, and John repeated it in that letter in 2 John. So God uses obedient people. The next thing I want you to understand is God uses willing people. He does take volunteers. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. You're very familiar probably with the scene. If you're not, Isaiah's in the temple. And the call of God is coming to him. Now, I've always, just to throw in a little extra mix here, you know, when you read this passage, there is an assumption that Isaiah is all alone in the temple. But one day I was thinking, what if he wasn't all alone in the temple? What if it was just a regular time of worship and the temple was full of people? You know, and this is when he saw the Lord and his glory filled the temple. And you know, I'll just read you a little of the description. He said, you know, there were seraphs there, each with six wings. Two wings they covered their face, two they covered their feet. Two they were flying, they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, this is the scene that caused Isaiah to fall before God and declare he's a man of unclean lips who lives among a people of unclean lips. I mean, he is having a life-changing encounter with God. And so one day I was asking myself, what if he had this encounter while other people were just sitting there noticing nothing? The reason I say that is because I do think that happens in the gathering of God's people even today. Some people are having their lives changed while other people wondering if anything's going on. They don't even notice that God is moving. Other people are being broken and chained. They're weeping, and God is touching their lives. I want to tell you something. If you don't open yourself up to what God is doing, it can go right past you. There can be a mighty move of God's Spirit just go right by you, and you won't even notice it. Isaiah, though, saw the Lord on this day, and God began to call out to him, and he touched him with the coal from the altar, and he touched his lips. Pick it up in verse 6. It says, then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he said, Isaiah saying that, he said, I said, here am I, send me. God uses, here are my people. Because he's not going to force you. He's not going to make you, you know, but he will let you. How many understand this? How many have been serving God long enough to understand this? It's a privilege to do something for God. It's an honor to serve him. I don't have to. I get to. Nobody makes me give my money. I get to give it. I love to give it to God. Nobody makes me serve him. I get to serve him. You understand? Everything I do is an honor and a privilege to do it for God. Let that get down into your hearts. I'm telling you, it was in the early church. They would even take beatings in the name of Jesus and legitimately rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. They got happy because they got picked to be persecuted. You must think a lot of me, God, to let me get in a place where you'll let me take attack and suffering for your name. Because I saw my Savior take the same kind of treatment. And if you think of me what you thought of him, I give you glory that I'm counted worthy to suffer for your name's sake. See, but God uses the willing. Nobody's serving God with their arm twisted behind their back, being forced to do something for God. And if that attitude ever takes hold of you, let go. Let go. God is not twisting your arm. It's something else is twisting your arm. You better figure out what it is. But it's not God. Man, get set free. Get set free. I will tell you something. I will not serve God out of this sense of being forced. Whenever I feel that, when I feel that I am pressed and I am being forced, then I know that something has gotten out of sorts. It's probably me who needs a little time in the presence of God to get some things sorted out. But I know it's not God. Hallelujah. Because he has given me a spirit of liberty that I operate in, and I'm not trading that in. There's some things I made up my mind several years ago. I'm not trading my joy in. You can't have it. It's not for sale. I'm going to walk in joy, and I'm going to walk in freedom. And I'm going to be set free from the judgment of others and the expectation of others. And I'm going to put my life in the eyes of God and say, God, I'm going to walk a life pleasing to you. And I figured this out, that if I can truly get myself humble before the Lord and please him, I will make the most people happy. I'm never going to make everybody happy. And I got set free from that a long time ago. But I'll make most people happy if I'll please the Lord. All right? And so you get that in your hearts right now. You don't please people. That will make you neurotic. It really will. You'll start twitching. Listen, I already talked to myself. I don't want to give that up. It's too much fun. Some of the most interesting conversations. All right, so. Well, praise the Lord. That was free too. But God uses... here are my people. He uses also today people. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Today people. Think about this classic scene in the Bible where Jesus was teaching the multitudes. They stayed too late. There was nothing to eat. And here comes this little boy, and he says, hey, I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I got it right now, and it's ready. It's not perfect, and I don't know how good it even tastes. My mom put it in here for me, but you guys can have it. Today. See, there are a lot of people going, well, we can run back home, or we could do this, or we could do, maybe tomorrow we could get this thing worked out, but today. God uses today people who are ready to be used right now. With what they've got and where they're at right now, God, I'm ready to serve you right now. I don't have everything. It's not perfect. It's not, you know, but right now I'll let you use me. Today. I've done a lot of, through the years, I've done some missions things with a friend of mine, Mel Rolls. And whenever Mel runs an outreach, he'll always quote this verse from the Living Bible in Ecclesiastes 11:4. And he says this, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. All right? Because perfect conditions never arrive. We'll get them when we get to heaven. But until then, we got to do what we can do now. And step in. God uses today people who are willing to say, let's just do what we can do. And we'll trust God for the rest. Let's get out here and serve the Lord now. All right? God uses people who don't make excuses and just move forward. I don't like to make excuses. When things don't work, they just don't work, but God still works. All right? I'm not going to make excuses like, well, I couldn't read my Bible right. Well, I could make a ton of them today, all right? The older I get, the more things I could gripe about that just keeps going wrong with me. But I found I don't have to get glasses. I can get a bigger Bible. Look how big this thing is, all right? It's huge. It's huge. The print. Can I read that screen back there? No, I can't read that. I don't know. I'm not making excuses about it because I'm not preaching off of that anyway. That's just for y'all. All right. Anyway, but you understand, we can make excuses all day long. My back's giving me this. But perfect conditions never come. They don't get here. And people who do stuff for God understand that and just step out with what they have, understanding the greatest thing that we have is God moving in us and for us. And if He is for us, who can be against us? Let's step out in faith and do something for God. All right? So God uses today people. He also uses people. This is good for all of us here. He uses people who have made mistakes. Well, I've messed up in the past. Good. You're perfect for this job. I like the story in the Bible, and you have to kind of catch it in different places and put it all together. But there's this story about John Mark, who Paul and Barnabas take along with them on their first missionary journey. And John Mark gets a little freaked out about how hard it is and bugs out on them because he just wasn't ready. And he quits, leaves, strands them. Paul didn't like it. Next time they get ready to go on a missionary journey, Barnabas goes, I'm bringing John Mark, because Barnabas was an encourager. One of the things God was using Barnabas to do was raise up the next generation of leaders. And he, because if Barnabas had that foresight to go, hey, one day we're not going to be around. There's going to need to be some people here to keep this thing going. John Mark, God's got his hand on him. I know it. And we're going to take him again. Didn't work the first time. Let's try it again. So he said, let's take John Mark. Paul says, we're not taking him. He bugged out. There's no way. They had such a contention. The Bible politely puts it that they got down. I'm gonna guarantee you there's stuff flying in the room. It's like, you know, you're not. Yes, I am. No, yes, I'm going. He's coming. And the contention was so strong that Paul went with Silas and Barnabas went with John Mark, and they doubled their efforts. I know. Was it a church split? I don't think it was that, but it was. They went different ways. Later, toward the very end of his life, you hear Paul say in 2 Timothy, would you bring John Mark because he's so useful for ministry? That was Paul's way of saying, yeah, I got that one wrong. I didn't think that guy, we could count on him. You know, sometimes our way is like this. You know, somebody lets us down, we don't ever want to count on them again. Let's write them off. And so I give you the John Mark story. There's two sides of it. One, if you're a John Mark and you failed in the past, that doesn't mean you're going to fail in the future. All right? God still wants to use you. If you may have a past failure, I got more than one. I can tell you that for a fact. I have messed some things up. I've made some mistakes. And yet God continues to use me in spite of it. If you will be willing and you'll step out there, God will use you. And some of you who have that Paul mentality need to wake up and realize it's not just all about getting the job done. Sometimes it's about raising up those who will do the job down the road. And they have to be trained, and they have to be taught, and they have to be given opportunities. And yes, sometimes they'll fail, but the church is bigger than the failures of its members. The sum of the whole is greater than the parts, and the church can overcome people making mistakes. All right? We'll get past it. We'll move on, especially if they're honest, legitimate things. Listen, and God will help us. It's His church. But people are going to make mistakes, and that doesn't mean because you messed something up, you can't ever be used by God again. Baloney. You can be used by God again. One day, I was not in this setting. I was pastoring, and I was, and John, take it easy. But I was mad at the youth pastor. I was mad. I was coming to get him. And I can't even remember what I was mad about at this point. I just remember I was mad. But what I remember is what God did with me with my mad. Because he got a hold of me before I got a hold of him. Because he really just made a stupid mistake. It wasn't like some moral goof up or anything. He just done something stupid. And I was mad about it. And God reminded me of the youth pastor I was. And he said, John, do you remember when you filled up the baptismal pool? One day I come in, it was Sunday, and we were going to baptize that day. My dad said, John, look in that baptism pool. I said, okay. What's missing? The water. He goes, yeah, how are we going to baptize? I'll fill it up this afternoon. He goes, yeah, but it won't get hot. And it's not your rear end getting in it. I'm like, well, I'll show him. I'll get that thing hot in an afternoon. So I ran me a hose from the hot water heater and turned it on. And I emptied out that hot water heater in it, but I went off to lunch. Not thinking that it would fill up two or three times as fast, only to come back and have the whole stage flooded completely as the baptismal pool was overflowing everywhere. I called every friend I had with a shop vac. But it didn't get care of the ceiling tiles on the next level below that were completely washed out. Oh, you don't have to groan that bad. It was just water. It cleaned up. We had warm water in that baptismal pool that night. One time I came in the middle of the night from a youth outing. We'd been to a youth convention. I locked my keys in my office at 2 o'clock in the morning. Had no way of taking the kids home. Only person with a key was my dad. I didn't want to call him. Done this one time before, but my friend, the gymnast, was with me. And there was a way to get into the office. You could go into the ladies' bathroom, remove the ceiling tile, jump up through there, go into the next room, which was another office, go into the next room. As a gymnast, he had no problem jumping up through the two-foot hole, back down through another two-foot hole. He had great body control. Boom, boom, boom. He did it, got the keys. We got out. But he wasn't with me this time. So I took my shoes off so I wouldn't scuff anything up. But I left my dark socks. We'd been on a skating party. So I had the dark socks full of sweat. Fell through the ceiling tile, drug my feet all the way down, left blue streaks. I did get to the keys. But I'm going to tell you, man, I think my dad's words were something like, you're going to pay for that. out of your pocket, pay for it. And you'll fix it. Yes, sir. And so all of a sudden, I want to kill this youth pastor, and God brought back both these incidents to my mind. And he goes, and you want to yell at him for being stupid? So I had one of those shut my mouth moments before the Lord and moved on. Because people make mistakes, and God still uses them. All the men in the church goes, we don't need to let the pastor fix anything around here. You probably don't. God uses willing people, and finally, God uses courageous people. He does. He uses people who overcome fear and discouragement. Look in Joshua, in chapter 1, when Joshua is taken over from Moses, the Lord begins to speak to him about, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. I want you to see this passage. Here we go. Beginning in verse 6, the Lord begins to speak to him. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it on day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. I hope you're seeing how obedience is tied in with this. You never get away from that, all right? Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He goes on and keeps speaking to him. If you go read the very last thing to him, the last thing he says is, only be strong and courageous. In that passage, four times he tells him to be strong and courageous. And there's that line in there, he says, don't be terrified, don't be discouraged. Listen, fear and discouragement are common to all of us. There's none of us in here that haven't dealt with fear. The common things of what's going to happen. How's it going to turn out? I don't know what's going to happen. But God will give you strength and courage to face those things. Listen, courage oftentimes works like this. Courage operates in spite of fear, not in the absence of fear. Sometimes it means I'm going to do it anyway. I still got this gnawing in my gut. I'm a little uneasy. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I just know that the Lord told me to go talk to them and ask them what's, you know, about their life and speak to them. Maybe God is sending you to someone to share His good news and you're feeling uneasy about it. Be strong and courageous in spite of fear. You know, listen, maybe you're going through a difficult time and the finances just aren't coming together, but God is saying, just trust me. Trust me, walk with me. I'm going to see you through this. And you're saying, oh, it just doesn't add up on paper, God. And it won't add up on paper, but God will see you through it. Be strong and courageous. God uses people who have courage. Now think about Esther. Esther is called out by her uncle Mordecai, really her second cousin, and just says, Mordecai comes to Esther and says, listen, who knows that you've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this? You got to go into that king and talk to him. You can't hide out here in the palace, you know, and just calls her out. And she says, okay, you fast and pray. I'll fast and pray. And I'll go in front of that king. And this is one of the classic lines in all of Scripture of courage. She says, if I perish, I perish. I'll walk in there in front of that king, and we'll just see what God will do. But I have become convinced this day that it is God's will for my life to go in front of this king. She hadn't been in front of him in months. And if he wanted to, he could have had her immediately executed. And she walked in front of him, and God set in motion a chain of deliverance for all of his people when one person in courage obeyed God and did what he asked him to do. Stepped out in faith. Was it easy? No. But something got in her soul and said, if I perish, I perish. Hey, and all those stories don't have happy endings. Read Hebrews 11 and it'll tell you about some of them, you know, that just continue to serve God by faith, and some of them lost their lives. Even there's the example in the New Testament of Stephen. Stephen sees him picking up the stones, but he won't stop preaching the gospel to them, even though he knows that they're about to let loose, and unless there's some miraculous intervention, he's about to be killed. And all he can say in the end is, you know, Father, forgive them. He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, not seated, standing, looking down, saying, there's a guy with courage and faith. Look at him. Preach the gospel. And we remember him to this day and his power and faith that he operated in because he had the courage to follow God. I'm not shutting up just because it looks difficult. I'll tell you something today that ought to make us think every time we come together. There will be brothers and sisters in the Lord that we've never met persecuted on this day. Threatened, beaten, some days they even die just to do the will of God. It's happening even today. In Egypt, there'll be people gathering in the name of Jesus in the most uncertain of times, not knowing if they'll be attacked by Muslim extremists who don't even know if there's a government that's going to step in and intervene for them. But they're going to meet in the name of Jesus. And they're going to do the work of the Lord. God bless their courage. God bless their courage. I'm going to tell you something. You go out, go witness some of this stuff firsthand. You guys got to get out there and see it. Read about it. It's happening even today. Brothers and sisters in the Lord demonstrating their courage. And is God using it? Yes, he's pulling down strongholds. He's advancing his kingdom. And he's moving forward. So you understand, God uses courageous people. Sometimes you got to, when God's saying, and even, you know, a lot of times the level our courage needs to operate on is maybe in a lot lesser arena. But still, God may be calling you to step out and do something that's never been done. And all you're going to hear is that can't happen. That'll never work. That God is stirring in your heart. This can happen. It can be done. Sometimes you got to step out and trust God. You really know it's Him speaking. I found myself last year, right around this time, we were going to do a brand new thing in youth that we'd never done before. And the old thing wasn't working anymore. So we tried. The students at the end of this month will go to a new movement conference. We started that last year. We used to have a thing called Youth Convention, and it didn't totally die, but it was on a respirator. I was like, this is not working. What I never told anybody about revamping that was, you know, I spent a $30,000 budget. Didn't know if I was going to be able to pay for it. But I knew God said, do it. Trust me. Get out there. Go for it. Did He come through? Yes, He did. More than came through. Everything happened. But you know what? If playing it safe, it doesn't ever happen. But when you step out in faith. Now I want you to understand, you always got to connect this. You got to connect the courage with the obedience. If you do something foolish without being instructed of God, that's not going to work. But when you know God has spoken to you, you can't let intimidation stop you. Yes, I know the enemy is an intimidator, but I also know God will give us courage to rise up above that. Look at one of the, you know this passage well, but let's remind ourselves of it. Go to Acts chapter 4. They were threatened. They were threatened and told to stop preaching. And they didn't ask God to take the threats away. They only asked God to give them boldness and courage. Pick it up around verse 29. They're praying to God, and this is into the prayer. It's beginning in verse 29, chapter 4. They know they've been threatened. They've been told not to preach anymore. And they say, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through your name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They didn't ask God to take the threats away. They asked God to give them boldness to face the threats. Give us courage. Put something in us, God. We are feeling the threat. We are feeling the intimidation. And God said, well, I'll put something in you that makes you know no matter what they do, you're going to rise up and do what I've called you to do. And just filled them with the Holy Spirit so dramatically, it says, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I've always been a little curious about that. If I get a heavenly replay on the monitors, I might look at it one day just to see, did the place shake or did they shake? And it looked like the place was shaking. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. Right toward the end of me playing church softball, this is when I decided it wasn't such a good idea. I remember running to catch a ball, and the earth was moving. Because I'd gotten large and slow, and as I ran, everything was moving like this. And it felt like the earth was shaking, but really what was shaking was my body. And it wouldn't stop shaking for a while. It's just, you know, anyway. I don't know how that, man, I'm telling you, the power of God came on that place and shook them and shook the place. But listen, the real testimony isn't that the place was shaking. It's that last verse. They spoke the word of God boldly. They asked God, their prayer wasn't that the place would be shaken. They didn't pray that. Their prayer was, let us continue to speak your word. Give us the boldness to continue to speak your word. So God said, well, here's how I'll answer that. I'll put so much of my power and spirit in you that you will keep speaking my word. The answer to the prayer was that they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So understand that the Spirit of God gives boldness to those who ask. How about, do you remember, and I'm wrapping it here, do you remember, how many can hear that glass? Just noticed it. David comes upon Ziklag, and his camp had been raided, and his family carried off. His men were ready to quit. Discouragement had run through the camp. And David got alone with God, and the Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. We've got to learn that when we are facing opposition from the enemy, how to find our source of strength and courage. It's not in us, but it's in God. And when we say, God, give us the strength and the courage to do what you've called us to do, he says, that's one I like to answer right there. I will respond to your call, and I will answer you. And he'll fill us with his spirit and with his power. Amen? I want to ask Leah to come. And as she comes, I want us to consider this morning some questions as we get ready to close here. It says, first of all, are you walking in obedience in God's plan for your life? Are you doing that? Are you doing everything you know to do? Keep doing it. Have you done all to stand? Then stand. You're walking in obedience, keep walking in obedience. Do you need direction, though? Do you need God to supply some direction? I'm going to tell you something. If you'll ask God, he will give direction. He'll show you. He'll talk to you. He'll speak to you and give you the direction that you need. Just ask him for that direction. He wants to make his plan known to you. He wants to make his will known to you. Oftentimes, it's made known through the word. Sometimes, though, we need God to just speak specifically to our situation. And I want you to understand he's willing to do that today and let you walk in obedience to his plan. If you need that, he'll hear you. Are you willing to be used by God? Because if you're not, you're not going to be. You're not going to be. But if you are, you will be. Are you willing? Are you willing to say, here am I, Lord. Use me where I'm at right now. Help me to be a blessing to the people you put me around. I just want to be used by you, God. Are you willing to be used by God? And finally, do you need to ask God for strength and courage? Do you need God to help you? Do you need his strength? Do you need boldness? Are you in a situation that intimidates you? Are you in some situation that just causes you to back down? Even though you're like, you know, this is what I need to do this for God, and yet I keep being intimidated. God, give me some courage today. Give me some boldness through your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I want you to just bow your heads. I'm going to ask everybody just a simple question. This doesn't mean you're going to come to the front or anything. It's just a simple question before God. Do you want to be used by God? Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I want God to use my life. I want God to use me. I want him to find a way to use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would say today, Pastor, I need some direction in my life. I want to walk in obedience, but I'm just not sure about some certain situations. Would you lift up your hand and say, I need help with that, God. I need some direction. Let's pray right now about that. Right where you're at, let's begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are those here today that need your direction. And God, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God is going to begin to move in their life and bring direction. Bring your guidance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Clarity, clarity, Lord, from the Holy Spirit. Clear path to walk in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, you may not unfold the next year, but God, would you unfold the next day and the next week, and let us begin to see where we need to go right now. God, bring direction in the name of Jesus by your Spirit. Lord, you said your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. You sent him to be our guiding, our comforter. And I ask right now, let the Spirit of God lead your people in the way that they need. Speak direction to their hearts in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Last thing, anybody here needs strength and courage from God? This is in the area where you know what to do. You've just been intimidated lately. And you need God to give you strength. I want to ask us all to stand while people are raising their hand. And if on that last one you need strength and courage, I want to ask you to come and come to this front right now and just let us ask God to pour out his Spirit on your life with an anointing for this moment, with an anointing for this time that you will operate in the strength and courage of the Lord. If you need that, I want you to step out. People are coming right now. I'm going to begin to pray for them in just a few moments. You raised your hand. Go ahead and begin to move right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many believe God has all that you need? He will supply. Hallelujah. By His Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are a few more of you that raised your hands. If you're comfortable with it, come on down. I believe God will touch you today. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. While I'm praying with them, will you just begin to pray? Just seek the Lord right where you're at. grace, O Lord. God's not done just yet. And trying to listen. I'm going to ask somebody here to take a step of faith and courage. But I sense in my spirit that there's at least one, and there may be more, that you laid down your dream. You had a dream that God gave you of what he would do with your life. And you laid it down. And you're afraid to take it up again. God's going to give you your dream. But I want you to step out in faith for it today. If you lost your dream that God gave you, you see, even the enemy's been lying to you and said that it wasn't God. That wasn't God. That's a lie. That is the liar. God gave you a dream of what would be. And you want it. And you still want it. You're still willing to trust God. You're willing to look for it every day the rest of your life. You're willing to go after it. This day, step out in faith and courage and say, God, I will not lay down the dream you put in my heart. I'm coming after it. And by faith, I want you to step out and meet me right up here. If that's you, I didn't say it'd be easy. I want you to take that step of faith and courage. I want you to say, if I perish, I perish, but I'm stepping out. God's calling me out right now. He's calling me out, and he's saying, you want that dream? Do you want it? Do you want it enough to step out and meet me? I'll meet you. Who is that for right now? Would you step out? If you need it, it could be more than one. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, putting it all in perspective, God wants to use us. Now, Paul understood. He said, hey, you know what? I'm going to water, and there's somebody else that's planting. God gives the increase. God makes it grow. We don't make it grow. God makes it grow. But he uses us. He uses us. We have our roles. We have our places. He uses us. Father, in the name of Jesus, use us. Use us, Lord, for your glory and honor, for your name's sake, to push your kingdom forward. In the name of Jesus, Raise us up in the gifts and callings that you place on our life. And let us move forward in your name, in Jesus' name. God, this week, give us the strength and courage we need to live out your plan and to walk in obedience before you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We'll give you glory and honor for it. Protect and keep everyone here. Keep us safe by your mighty hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you for coming today.